Greetings, outrageous gamers, to yet another episode of the Daily Days Podcast, that weekly explosion of gaming euphoria that takes us back to simpler times and places, or sometimes brings us new perspective on the modern day. I'm Mr. Picario, your humble host on this scattered quest, and today I thought we'd dip our collective toes back in the art of retro collecting, but this time focusing on a somewhat serious issue. When does collecting become too much? In other words, when does collecting one's favorite stuff suddenly become an exercise in hoarding? So everyone collects something. Comedian Jay Leno collects cars, literal drivable automobiles, and he has hundreds of them. On the other extreme, my own mother collects seashells. She has thousands of those. So which one of these two is the true hoarder? And that's the challenge. What really constitutes hoarding over collecting? What is that magic threshold that, once crossed, suddenly turns someone from eager enthusiast to compulsive shopper? There is no easy answer. I'm a collector myself, having a scattered library of games across a variety of machines, from the Super Nintendo through the current day PS4. All told, I probably have about 1,000 physical copies spread across all my systems. If you count all my digital titles ranging from Steam to the PSN, that number almost doubles then. Does this large number mean I have a problem? My mother probably thinks so, but compared to the average YouTube game celebrity, my collection is downright modest. And speaking of YouTubers, popular and some might say notorious folk like John Hancock, Radical Reggie, and the self-proclaimed Metal Jesus Rocks sport collections that are likely inching towards five figures, especially in Hancock's case. On the surface, this level of buying might seem extreme, but they have their justifications. For one, they all have popular YouTube shows, with collecting being their main shtick, so it makes sense that they would be constantly scrounging for more titles to show off on their show. Each new purchase is a piece of content for a later episode. They also, of course, all love video games in the first place. John Hancock, however, goes a bit further with his rationale. His plan is to eventually open a video game museum in which all his hard-won finds can then be preserved and presumably shown off forever. Indeed, I think a lot of collectors justify their growing stack of treasures with similar justifications. Many assume they'll just one day pass the games off to their children or donate them to some willing entity. Whether these games will even be heavily desired 40 years from now, however, or whether one's kids will want thousands of games suddenly sitting in their apartments or houses is an issue few really consider. This holds true for Mr. Hancock, too. A nebulous museum that may or may not happen is certainly a great excuse to buy games indefinitely, but even if he does succeed, this is still not a great reason for the average person to start collecting into the thousands.
Thank you.
So, YouTube is the great enabler when it comes to collecting an obscene amount of games, no doubt. But most people don't have an online show or an avid fanbase with which to justify chunking their money. Most people have a modest disposable income, a modest amount of space, and a modest amount of time. Indeed, perhaps the measure of a true hoarder is whether one or more of these factors are being crossed. For instance, if someone is coming up short for rent because he blew too much cash on, say, Persona 2 for the PlayStation, or worse, Snatcher for the Sega CD, he might have a problem. Certainly, collecting can become compulsive, an addiction really, but addictions do come in degrees. I might be obsessed with completing my wish list of Super Nintendo gems, but someone else might be obsessed with collecting the full retail libraries of not only the SNES, but also the Sega Genesis, TurboGrafx-16, Sega Saturn, and any other machine he can find. Initially, I might laugh and say this fellow has the greater problem, but what if he makes 3 times more money than I do each month? What if he has a dedicated game room with plenty of space for these purchases? What if he's part of a club or runs a shop or has a Facebook or YouTube channel that specializes in video game rarities? What if he is a short-term investor planning on reselling more than half of what he's bought? You see, suddenly his ravenous buying habits don't seem so bad, while I, on the other hand, am cramming another expensive game into my already crowded apartment. In this sense, perhaps I'm guilty of the greater sin. In the end, it's tempting to just say, don't judge, and just buy in moderation. And these tired maxims are all true to some extent. But unless one really has a great reason to own thousands of games, there are probably better ways to spend one's money and time. For my part, I've decided to slow down. I have enough, and if I'm being truly honest, all these retro all-in-one consoles coming out have done a fine job recreating the past in ways that don't involve scouring eBay or trying to hook ancient machines into modern TVs. In the next year, I hope to be essentially done with my game collecting, choosing to be happy with what I have and only buying a game here or there that I truly want to play. I guess what I'm saying is everyone needs a goal to achieve, an end to reach, and once that's accomplished, instead of extending that goalpost ever further, why not just wash your hands of it all and move on, even if it's to collect something else? Like seashells, they're cheap and are a great excuse to spend a fine day at the beach. Thanks, Mom. Anyway, thanks for listening, everyone, and until next time, this is Mr. Picario signing off for now.